organic crop rotations and ecological weed management strategies on soil quality. So, just an organization of my talk. I'm going to talk about what we did in terms of our cover crop treatments, our experimental design, and what we measured. I'm going to talk about what we found in terms of our soil chemical, biological, and physical measurements. And then I'm going to tell you what we think is going on. So, first of all, this is all occurring within an organic crop rotation. So year one is corn, year two is soybean, and year three is wheat. Our first cover crop treatment is an oilseed radish interseeded with winter wheat. The idea behind that was that the large rooted radish sown with winter wheat would produce a substantial soil and crop protective canopy that would winter kill, and that the rapid degradation of those root tissues in the spring would allow soil water to be more uniformly available through the soil profile. Our next cover crop treatment was sun hemp green manure after wheat. So, the idea behind that was the rapidly establishing leguminous sun hemp would provide excellent weed suppression following winter wheat crop, and it would provide substantial benefits to soil nutrient availability and soil health in the subsequent corn crop. Our next cover crop was a radish and turnip mix in corn. Now, the idea behind this cover crop was that the mix would provide an excellent weed suppression within corn during the initial part of the corn growing season, and that the radish and turnip mix would improve the distribution of soil nutrients due to its growing depth. Another cover crop was the red clover frost seeded in winter wheat. The idea behind this one was that the red clover sown in with winter wheat would provide substantial winter cover and protection against winter kill while enhancing soil nutrient availability and soil health during the subsequent wheat growth. And then we had spring seeded mustards before soybean, and this was a mustard mix. The idea behind this cover crop was that the spring seeded mustard mix after corn and before soybean would provide excellent weed suppression. Our two other cover crops were a combination of all of these cover crops and then our no cover crop treatment. So just to give you an idea of our experimental design, this is our plot in 2015. What I want to highlight here is that our cover crop treatment does not change in terms of our plots, but our main crop does. So for example, if this is our 2015 and we just highlight the soybean, if you just follow, for example, plot 101, this is a soybean plot and the cover crop treatment is the kitchen sink. But in 2015, the kitchen sink stays there and now it's wheat. And in 2017, it's corn and it's still the kitchen sink. So the cover crop treatment stayed within the main plot treatment throughout our experiment. So we try to answer questions about soil quality, and we know that the soil quality is the integration of physical parameters, chemical parameters, and biological parameters. The ones that we measure were water-stable aggregates for the physical ones, organic carbon, CEC, nitrate N, potassium, RAP, and pH for our chemical indicators, and microbial biomass for our biological indicators. Our soil sampling occurred in the corn phase of the organic crop rotation. That's important to understand. And we have 2015 and 2016 data. And soil was sampled at a depth of 0 to 4 inches. And it was sampled at this depth because after we collect 2017 data, we will integrate all 3 years using a model called SMATH. SMATH is the Soil Management Assessment Framework, and it provides site-specific interpretations and integrations of soil physical, chemical, and biological measurements. So exactly what we're trying to accomplish. The INDEX framework involves three main steps: indicator selection, interpreting these indicators, and combining these indicators, which is an optional step. And I'll try to have this data for next year for our meetings. We also measured above-ground biomass. So above-ground biomass was destructively sampled 30 days after planting. So it was sorted by crop, cover crop, and weed species, and dried to a constant mass. So then we could determine cover crop, main crop, and weed species biomass. So what did we find? So first, I'm going to talk about our chemical indicators. Interestingly, in 2015, there was no significant effect of cover crop when we measured organic carbon, nitrate N, potassium, RAP, and pH. We did, however, see a trend with CEC, but unfortunately in 2016, it was no longer significant. So once again, in 2016, for our chemical indicators, we had no significant influence of cover crop for organic carbon, CEC, nitrate N, potassium, RAP, and pH. However, if we take a look at our biological indicators that we measured by extracting fatty acid methyl esters, There was no significant influence of cover crops in 2015 for total microbial biomass. However, in 2016, we observed greater total microbial biomasses in our green manure cover crop treatment, followed by our clover, radish, and radish turnip mixed. The lowest total microbial biomass we saw was in the kitchen sink. When we dig deeper into our total microbial biomass, we look at our fungal biomass, and we see that in 2015 nor in 2016 was the influence of cover crop significant. However, for our bacterial biomass, cover crop was significant in 2016, where we see a similar trend where our greatest bacterial biomasses were observed in our green manure cover crop treatment. So if we look at our physical measurements, we measured water-stable aggregates. Both in 2015 and in 2016, the cover crop influenced our macroaggregate stability. And in 2015, we saw the greatest macroaggregate stability measured by mean weight diameter in the kitchen sink, followed by the radish turnip and the green manure, and the lowest in the clover and the no cover. In 2016, we saw similar trends, but this time, the highest macroaggregate stability measured by mean weight diameter was seen in the green manure, and the lowest in the radish turnip and the radish treatments. So what do we think is going on? Well, we also measured, like I said, above-ground biomasses. And so when we look at our above-ground biomasses, we see that our weeds are actually out-competing our cover crops. And this is an interesting finding because we did have some initial data suggesting that some of these cover crops could suppress weed species. So, for example, in our cover crops within corn, we see that there was no significant differences between our weeds and our cover crop, and that our weed species at times were influencing our results. And however, there was no significant influence of those weed species on our corn yields. When we look at our cover crops in wheat, which included the clover, the radish, the kitchen sink, and the no cover, we see that the cover crops had a hard time establishing in our winter wheat organic crop. But this was interesting because so did the weeds, and so the organic wheat did a very good job of closing canopy and suppressing weed species all on its own. And we did have some very high yielding wheat, which I will present next year. And finally, in our soybean treatment, we see a similar trend where weeds are closely competing to the cover crop, and it's difficult to then sparse out that effect of cover crop and weed species if the cover crop and the weed species aren't so different. So for our future work, we're going to bring it all together by integrating our measurements using SMAF, like I had mentioned before. And we will also try to look at a random forest model to suggest what is the most influential factor in our organic yields and in our cover crop biomasses. With that, I'd like to thank our lab, the USDA, Dr. Virginia Jin, who is helping me with SMAF, the Doctor of Plant Health Program, and my Doctor of Plant Health Program advisor, Dr. Hine, and our undergrads that made all this work possible.
We've got quite a few minutes for questions.
So, I don't know if I missed it, but
so that's an excellent question, and it depended by year. So the years that we had a higher weed pressure, I was forced to cultivate multiple times. And exactly, yeah. But there were years where I didn't have to. So I'm trying to consider that in my models, the amount of times that I cultivated, to consider how that might influence my macro aggregate stability data. And that's also my yields. Yes?
Can you explain the timing of planting the turnip into the corn?
Okay, if I didn't make that clear, I apologize. It was planted at the same time. And for the 2015 and 16 years, it actually did pretty well. It suppressed all of our wheat species, but unfortunately it did too well, and it started competing with our corn, and so I had to also cultivate that before corn got too big so that I wouldn't have a huge yield loss from such a high biomass cover crop.
What were your seeding rates when you cover crops?
It depended by the cover crop, and I don't have them all off the top of my head, but they were all suggested from the cover crop providers that we purchased seed from.
Thank you.
How long do you think it will take to bring soil quality change using the cover crops?
So this is 3 years on top of another 3 or 4 years that this experiment has been going on. And I think that the issue with the cover crop and the soil bio and the soil quality stuff is that the cover crop isn't suppressing weeds like I expected. And this could be due to the ecoregion where this experiment is located, in which we have a tremendously high weed pressure, especially in the corn growing season and in the soybean growing season. So I don't know how to answer that, and I don't want to stretch my data, but hopefully we see some more trends occurring in 2017.
Yeah, follow up.
Sure.
Is the weeds grasses or broadleaves? Can you just comment?
The weeds? Oh, I measured both. I measured, I actually categorized them into broadleaves, and it's the amaranthus species that are very difficult to control in eastern Nebraska. And it was the grass species, including the foxtails, that were also very difficult to control using cover crops. And interestingly, once I had an established cover crop, it was sunflowers that would blow through the cover crop, opening cover crop canopy, and then the grasses and the other broadleaves would show up.
I guess one of the things farmers worry about when planting cover crops in a crop is that the cover crops are going to compete with the crop. But then you have the weeds too, so have you thought about how you might separate those two impacts? I know it's hard in an organic.
I don't know if this is going to sound obvious, but it's timing. I think that, 1 year when I planted, corn later on in the season, it was easier for me to terminate that, radish turnip cover crop. But when I planted it earlier, the radish turnip, started to tremendously outcompete the corn, so, which is when I had to cultivate earlier in the season. So I think, I've been thinking about how I could use some of this data to correlate to planting times, especially correlated to moisture and temperature, but I haven't quite got there.
Any other questions?
Do you back on the cultivation question? Did you notice that any of your cover crop mixes could preserve or recover any macro-aggregate stability that may have been damaged by your cultivation?
That's a great question, because I was afraid when I was doing my macro-aggregate stuff that I had erased any benefits of those cover crops by cultivating in corn and in soybean. But we still see significant effects due to cover crops for macroaggregate stability. So I don't think we could use the data to say that it brought back some of that aggregate stability, but we still see significant macroaggregate stability effects by the cover crop. So.
And we know there's something strange about your macroaggregate. It looks like in the control, you saw an increase in the macroaggregate.
Let me go back real quick for you. So you're saying that in 2016 we saw a greater macroaggregate stability than in 2015 in the no cover.
Yeah.
And this is my point about the weeds. So in the no cover, we had weed species present in the no cover. And so one of the reasons why I want to run a random forest model is because I want to see if I can sparse out the effect of biomass, which is cover crop biomass and weed biomass. And so if I had the same amount of weed biomass as cover crop biomass, and I didn't have to cultivate the no cover, then I could see why we would have an increase in macroaggregate stability with an increase in plant biomass and a decrease in soil disturbance.
I've got one question. If you could redo the study, what would you do differently?
I think that what made some of this difficult was that the cover crop occurred only once in one crop, right? And so the 3-year crop rotation had the influence of one cover crop, but only in one crop in that rotation. So I think that I would try to seek multiple cover crop strategies within corn, within soybean, and within wheat, kind of like the kitchen sink, but just different combinations of the best performing cover crops to see if we could give organic farmers really a weed management strategy across their organic crop rotation.
Thank you.